Jell Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome back, Jell.
Hi.
Well, you're calling these birds the peregrine of flycatchers.
Hip! Three beers!
Oh, that one. Okay. Talk about the olive-sided flycatcher.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I can't take credit for that term. It's someone else's term or phrase that I came across some time ago where they used the idea of the peregrine of flycatchers, because the olive-sided flycatcher, which is one of the larger flycatchers that we have around here, it has the between the size of a sparrow and a robin, but it has a very typical behavior for it is to sing its very familiar song very recognizable song up at the top of a snag or a exposed branch. I mean, they really tend to sit out in some prominent place and sing that very recognizable song, and they're birds that are part of a group of birds. The flycatchers and the peewees and the phoebe are all generally in the same group of birds. And they're really among us to a large degree, but we don't other than through their voices. I don't tend to see them or think about them all that often, because they're not bright, colorful birds. Some of them are very much more secretive than the olive-sided, in that they tend to hide out and perch low and sing, or they're in dense deciduous forests where once the leaves are out, good luck seeing anything even with binoculars. But the olive-sided greets me every morning without fail.
Really?
Yes. They seem like they're very frequently one of the first birds to start singing in the morning. And often they're one of the last birds I hear singing in the evening. And I don't get to see them very often. Sometimes if I have my binoculars and I luck out, I have the right view and I can look across the marsh or something and see where it's perched, up on the top of a dead alder or up on the top of a black spruce or something, and it's singing away. But they're just incredibly reliable for being out there on their territory in the mornings around my place. And there's at least two or three of them. Based on birds singing at similar times and in slightly different places, they can have pretty large territories, up to 20 to 40 acres that they occupy. As I said, they're on the larger side for a flycatcher, and they're not super colorful, but they're recognizable by, first of all, the kind of long wings, short tail, size, I said, between sparrow and robin. They are kind of olive brown back, head, sides, but they have a light breast, and they kind of look like they're sporting a little vest, because the sides of that breast and belly are kind of a more of a grayish, but then it's a bright white down the middle, so it kind of looks like they've got this little vest on. And they're one of they among our flycatchers, they are the longest distance migrants. Go all the way down, some to Central America, but others as far south as Bolivia in South America. So very long distance migrants, very insect oriented, as their name implies. So they're one of the few birds that really specialize in a way, not exclusively, but they are very good at catching insects, bees and wasps in particular. So they sit on these very exposed open perches, and they sally out as insects of different kinds, from beetles to bees and wasps and dragonflies and probably pretty much anything that comes by, even smaller insects. They just zoop out and nab them and then slip quickly back to their perch. So that kind of feeding behavior is also very characteristic, and Sometimes if you're out in a place where you're sitting on the edge of a lake or on a wider river or something, you can watch them do this behavior and know from a distance that that's what you're seeing based on just size and behavior. They nest in up far off the ground typically, and usually at quite a well hidden nest built by the females, who also take responsibility for the incubation of the eggs. But then both males and females feed the young, and they're in the nest, hatched in the nest for a couple weeks usually, and then spend another week once they've fledged with the adults helping them get the foods they need until they are ready to go off on their own. Kind of amazing to think that in a week you could be ready to face this this place all on your own. But fortunately, they're usually good to go and get bulked up for their first migration, which of course is yet another amazing thing that these birds do.
That's a long migration.
That's a very long migration. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big tour to go on.
Chell Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand olive-sided flycatchers.
You're welcome.